so much for tuning into the Rage Student Ministries podcast. Here's one of the current messages from our youth group, and I hope that it speaks to you.
It's easy to find one that will compromise, but it's not easy to find one that's willing to stand.
We'll go to hell, that's why.
But to heaven, it's a one way, one truth, one life. That's why we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus, and we don't care.
All right. Can everybody hear me all right? Is this like... We're having a bit of feedback issues tonight, so I apologize for that. Do I? Do I need to switch microphones? Or is it like, is it distracting? Or is it cool? Okay, we'll go with it then. All right, we have a bunch of excitement in this room. This place is packed right now. I am loving it. But what I need to know, a lot of you just finished school. Yes, I'm excited for you. You've all been edumacated. Congratulations. All right. If this fall, this is very important, very important. If this fall you are going into seventh grade or higher, I want you to stand to your feet. So if you're going into seventh grade or higher this fall, I want you to stand up. All right. So if you take a look around, there's a few leaders who didn't quite make it out of sixth grade yet. And the rest of everybody else in here that is sitting down, that means you are going into sixth grade. And we are so happy to have you here as part of the Rage family. Let's welcome them in, Rage. Come on. Give it up. You guys are totally awesome. I am so happy you guys are here. Totally happy. Yes. You guys are amazing. You truly are amazing. Thank you so much. So much for joining the Rage family. Thank you so much. You know what? We are going to take a selfie of this right now. You guys ready? I got everybody in the middle. Everybody in the middle. Come on. Come on. We got to get you all in. Got to get you all in. Is everybody in? Everybody? Not yet. Not yet. We got them all. Almost. I'm going to have to like... Oh, I don't know. You guys are going to have to squeeze an arrow. Can you see yourself in here? Ready? One, two, selfie. One more. Ready? Silly faces. Serious faces.
Wait, is there another one?
There it is. Okay. All right. All right, everybody. Everybody go ahead. Grab your seats again. One last time. So. So I've got this nifty new thing called a selfie stick. Apparently they're really, really popular right now. Hold on a minute. I'm going to get this picture up right now because you guys are so awesome. Rage Student Ministries. Posting a photo. Oh, yep. There it is. Done. Let's see. Podium, selfie. Woo-hoo. You ready? Almost there. Hashtag, preach. There we go. It's going up. So, I got this weird new invention. It's called the Umpow, the selfie stick. And it's this device that has been created to drive our narcissism a little bit deeper. I found this wonderful thing for $25 on Amazon. And I would say it's the best $25 I've ever spent, but it would definitely taste a lie to tell you that. Because I'm not really much into selfie sticks. But I thought it'd be cool to have one. And it seems like no matter where you go, you can't find somebody or see somebody that's not posing for a selfie. They're like, oh, come on. They're getting there. They're grabbing people in. They're taking these pictures. They're posting them up. And now people like to take selfies to remember a good time. To remember maybe a place they were or a person they were with. But the problem is, a selfie is stuck with a very limited perspective. Hence the creation, the selfie stick. I feel like this is like a police baton or something. I should be like hitting one of you with it or something. So the selfie stick extends it out much further than it could unless you have like super long arms, which even in that case, you're still limited. The problem with these, even with the extension, you are still limited to the perspective of the person taking it. You're not getting the bigger picture of what's going on. It's still focused on the main subject. So what do you do if you want even a bigger picture yet? You throw the selfie stick in the trash can where it probably belongs. You ask somebody around you to take the picture for you. And at that time, they go, turns into a snapshot. Turns into a snapshot. Now, there's a few things I want you guys to understand for tonight's message. A little bit of verbiage we're going to be diving into. This is Snapchat versus snapshot. Okay, this is the critical part. So everybody's phones are put away. We're done taking the selfies. We're not texting anymore. We're not on Facebook anymore. If your phone's out and I see it, I'm probably going to destroy it. Snapchat is a very pointless app where you can take a picture of yourself, send it to somebody, and in the majority of cases, it's deleted a few seconds later. So my question would be, you've got this thing, if you have an iPhone, this thing called Messenger, like, you click on it. I mean, we've been texting pictures for years. Why do we need to install an app to text pictures for us? I just don't see the purpose in it. I see a few dangers in it. Not a big fan of the whole Snapchat idea. So, looking at it, that kind of perspective, it wouldn't make sense to take a Snapchat for something that you want to remember, for something that you really want to look back on someday and be like, man, that's a cool moment to remember. Instead, you would take a snapshot. Now, a snapshot is a picture that's taken with the purpose of looking back on it. You want it to be remembered. You want to say, man, I'm proud of that moment. I was proud of being in that place. It's a time, a place, an event you don't want to forget. Now, many times these are big events in your life. Where's Eric at? Eric, there he is. Eric. Eric is getting married. He just got engaged. He is going to have... Sorry, give it up. Eric, at his wedding, is going to have a lot of snapshot moments. It's going to be a time when he can look back through wedding pictures and be like, man, that was one of the best days of my life. One of the best days of my life, because that snapshot he's going to want to remember. But the sad part of all this is we live in a snapshot culture, 10 seconds or less. Let's get this thing done. It's self-gratifying. It's focused on us. And if it's not, then we don't want to do it. So in a world full of selfies, it can really be easy to settle for a Snapchat-style life. We're called to a greater purpose than a Snapchat culture. We're called to a far greater purpose than that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place tonight. God, we thank you that, yes, we can have a lot of fun, but more importantly, we get to meet with you. And I think that's more fun than anything else we could ever do. And so, Father, we just ask that as we meet with you tonight, you'll help us just to focus in on what it is you want to teach us and help us to not waste this snapshot moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So all throughout scriptures, you see people who are taking snapshot moments. Easy things that could have been a Snapchat. I'm like, oh yeah, send it to somebody else, gone. It's a fleeting memory. It's in, it's out, it's over with. But instead, you see them taking these moments suspended in time because there's a far greater purpose attached to it. Think of Matthew chapter 8 where there's a man with leprosy. He saw these huge crowds, easy to pull out. Take a selfie, right? Man, what's going on? This is an incredible moment. Maybe he got out his selfie sticks. The crowd was so big. He's like, boom. You know, standing on the side of his camel. He's like, I got this. I don't know. I wasn't there, so this is like speculation. But what scripture tells us is he didn't do that. He turned it into a snapshot moment. A leper, a social outcast, goes and approaches Jesus, falls on his knees, and begins to ask for healing. He took something easily from a Snapchat to a snapshot moment. He took advantage of it. Think of the paralytic who was on the mat. His friends are dragging him in. Easily could have been a Snapchat moment. Man, look at these crowds that came to this house. Now they're turning it into what I'm sure a lot of people are taking Snapchats. So look at these crazy psychos climbing the roof. Man, they're digging holes through it. And they lower him through. The paralytic gets healed. Because they said, I want this to be a snapshot moment in our lives and in his life. Matthew 14, Jesus walks on water. He's heading out. Peter says, man, this would be a sweet snapshot, but it would be a cooler snapshot jumps out of the boat, runs across the water to Jesus. Can you imagine that? A moment suspended in time, a true snapshot. And all these people took advantage of these moments when easily it could have just been something fleeting, something passing, and they totally could have missed a move of God in their lives. So easy to miss that. And the main one I want to focus on, I mean, there's thousands of them that are in the Bible, that are in scriptures, but the one I want to focus on tonight is one of my favorites. It's one that gets me all kinds of fired up every time I read it. It's in Acts chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there. In Acts, we find the story of a man. Oh, excuse me. Some feedback there. Didn't come, so we're good. Man named Philip. Now, Philip was one of the seven who was chosen by Jesus to reach out and oversee the church, to help with widows and the poor. We often get him confused with the Philip that was a disciple. These are two separate people. This Philip is described as an evangelist. He's one who went out and he shared truth of who Jesus is publicly with people. That's what evangelists do. He went out and he shared him with the world, with his friends, with his family, with his community. Why? So all could know the truth of who Jesus is. That's what Philip does. It's the same reason why we do Speed the Light. It's the same reason why we meet as a youth group. It's the very reason why you are alive. It's the very reason why you're breathing. It's to share the love of Jesus, to share the truth of who he is with others. And if we're not pointing others to Jesus, then we're not living really a full life. We're called to greater things than just the way we're living right now. So Acts 8, starting in verse 26, when you're there, let me know. Sounds like enough for you to make me feel good. All right. So looking at this recap, Philip had been ministering, and he was told by an angel. And how awesome would that be? God, what should I do? Poof, angel appears. Hey, what's up? You're like, whoa, this is fun. So this angel just explodes onto the scene. And he tells Philip to go down a long road in between two towns. And on his way, because I mean, I'm sure if an angel just exploded into your bedroom, you're just like, go listen to some music. Wall blows open. You shall go down to Mason. You're like, well, okay, I'm going to go right now. You're like 80 feet tall and really bright and holding a sword. And, you know, God sent you, so I'm definitely going to do it. Yeah, that's not a selfie stick moment. Like, don't even try. Just listen. So in verse 29, we see this. It says, the Spirit told Philip. So he's already on the road. He's already heading down. Spirit told Philip, as he sees this foreign man on a chariot, go to that chariot. Stay near it. Philip ran up to the chariot. He heard the man reading from Isaiah the prophet. He asks him, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So then he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. That's where I want to focus tonight. A couple things I want you to get out of this snapshot moment. First thing you can pull out of this. So if you're taking notes, if you were awesome and you brought your Bible and a notebook, this is the time to write a 1, a 2, and a 3 and put some subpoints under them. Number one, the first thing to take out of this snapshot moment is to just listen. Just listen. This is also known, in other words, as trusting Jesus. It doesn't always make sense to you, but God has a purpose for everything that he asks you to do in life. It didn't make sense for Philip to head down the road. It really didn't. Hey, go down this road. All right. It wasn't explained to Philip the why behind the go. He was just told to go. Did it make sense for him to go up to this chariot? Not really. It wasn't explained to him why. But you see, he trusted. He listened. He just went. Picture it like this. You're chilling. The angel appears, explodes in your bedroom. We already went over this, 80 feet tall, really bright light, big sword, sent from God. You probably just peed yourself. That's probably what I would do in a time like that. I'd be like, wow. You're not going to question. You're just going to go. This angel says, I want you just to get up right now, ignore your parents, just start walking to Mason. Start walking on to Mason. If you live in Mason, pick somewhere else, start walking to there. Elsie, there you go. If you're in Mason, you're going to LC. If you're anywhere else, you're going to Mason. So you're not questioning. You're just going. You're walking. You're halfway there, and you see a parking lot with this car in it, and this dude's reading a book. He's a foreign guy, and you're like, okay. And then you feel God saying, hey, I want you to go and stand by this car. The question is, would you? Or would you totally feel like a creeper? We don't always understand the stuff that God asks us to do, but one day in heaven, I believe it's all going to make sense. I believe God will be able to explain the different things of what He did, and He's going to align all the snapshots of our life with the snapshots of other people's lives, and it's going to be this beautiful picture of all these snapshots, like one of those big murals of little pictures that makes a big picture. And He's going to say, here's the spots where I used you in my kingdom to connect this for my purpose. Because your life, as amazing as it is and filled with all the snapshot moments that God has given you, is part of a bigger picture. It's part of a bigger plan that God has for you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look back on my life someday. I don't want to be standing before Jesus and see big missing gaps in the mural of my life. And Jesus says, that was a snapshot moment. That was a snapshot moment. That was a snapshot moment. And these gaping spots, these moments suspended in time of what could have been, were moments that you missed because you didn't trust me, because you weren't listening to me. First thing to get from this, just listen. Just trust. God's got it. Second thing, number two, don't hesitate. What if Philip would have hesitated? He would have began a wrestling match with God at that point. Pretty sure God will win that one, but He doesn't take over our free will. A lot of times when we wrestle with God, we walk away with limps. We don't understand the purpose, and we get angry at God, and He's saying, I gave you the opportunity, you're not listening. You're not listening. This goes back to that whole trust issue again. God knows truly what's best for us. But if our own selfishness or sinful nature tells us something different, maybe it tells us we don't like what God's asking, are we still going to do it? At that moment, it's not about God and the bigger mural picture of the kingdom. It becomes about us, our selfie stick mentality. And it's easy for us to take a snapshot in that moment. We prefer the easy way out. Now, the hesitation is your flesh fighting your spirit. Flesh fighting your spirit. Galatians 5:17 reminds us that our flesh, our sinful nature, desires what's opposite of our spiritual end of us. The part of us that desires deeply to know God. The part of us that is given to us by God for a moral purpose, for a kingdom purpose. Those two fight. The Bible even describes it as warring against one another in a state of battle. That hesitation is a fight that you need to push through in order to be obedient to Jesus. This goes back to a trust issue. Now you look at this verse and the breakdown here. Philip didn't hesitate. He didn't hesitate. Instead, he did something drastically different. Are you picking up on this? What does it say Philip did? I heard it. It says he ran. There's no hesitation there. He took off. He wasn't asked to run. God didn't say, Philip, I want you to run to that chariot. Why then did he do that? Why then? It's because he was developing a snapshot moment that was important for a kingdom purpose, important in his life, a moment he could look back and said, I didn't hesitate, Jesus. No matter what the outcome was, I did it. I ran to it because I trusted you. If you give in to hesitation, you're already starting that war against flesh and spirit. Push through it. The easiest way is just don't hesitate. Just go for it. Trust Jesus with it. Run after it. Last thing I want you to get out of this snapshot moment is to be open. Be open. See, Philip, he could have turned down the Ethiopian's invite to sit with them. He could have said, you know, I would love to, but, you know, this angel of the Lord appeared to me. I'm on my way down to Mason. I don't know why. You know, I've got this God meeting thing coming up. I'm not really sure what it is, but I just don't have time. I don't have time. He could have gotten so caught up in his religious pursuits that he missed the God purpose. Sound familiar? Don't we do that? God, you've called me to do this. 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 But you miss all the opportunities between getting there and where you are now that God has lined up for you. These snapshot moments suspended in time, created just for you. Are you open to them? Now, thankfully, Philip didn't do that, right? We see that he went up into this chariot, and it was a perfect open door to explain Jesus. If you join me in verse 32, I've got to grab my Bible here. So Acts 8, verse 32. All right. Starting in verse 32, I'm going to go down to verse 38. It says, the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? He has no clue. No clue who Jesus is at this point. But he's reading a prophecy about who Jesus is. Philip, boom, God moment, saying, well, let me tell you, I'm a follower of Jesus. Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him all of the good news, the gospel about Jesus. And the gospel goes beyond Jesus, you know, died on the cross and he died and he rose again. This is the kingship of Jesus, his authority, his power that they're referring to, also with what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Snapshot moment. All because he was willing to carry out these three different things that we're talking about tonight. Can you imagine the intricacy God went through to align this moment, the snapshot moment for Philip, for the Ethiopian? Because he loved that Ethiopian so much. Because he wanted him in his life so much. He wanted him to understand the truth so much. Just like Jesus has done for you. Just like Jesus is giving each of you opportunities to share his love with others. And God provides us with multiple snapshot moments each day. But how often do we turn them back into Snapchats? They're here and gone. Are you willing to listen, not hesitate, and just be open? Say, God, use me. So you think of Philip and countless others throughout history have said, I will let my snapshots count. I will not settle for a Snapchat life. You think of Corrie Ten Boom, who listened to the voice of God when he said, I want you to help these Jews escape the perils of Nazi Germany. It didn't come without a cost. She was willing. I'll make my snapshot count. Martin Luther King Jr. said, I will make my snapshot count when he took up the mantle of injustice and began the civil rights movement. In light of his color, in light of what society told him he was, he fought what was supposed to be an impossible battle. But with God, all things are possible. I will make my snapshot count. Mother Teresa gave up everything, including comfort, to live among truly the least of these who so desperately needed Jesus. A life, some would say, that was truly just wasted. You know what, I hope people say that about me someday. He wasted his life. He wasted it for Jesus. A snapshot worth counting. Think of the disciples who literally left everything to follow Jesus. They are described as the ones who turned the world upside down. Snapshot moments. A life not wasted. The question is, will you? Will you? Will you make your snapshots count? Are you making the most of them? Are you taking snapshots or Snapchats of mischances, self-seeking screenshots, and meaningless moments? In this war between your flesh and your spirit, which one is winning? It's the one that you feed more. Colossians 4:5 tells us to be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders, to make the most of every opportunity, a snapshot moment. Ephesians 5:15-16, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days around us are evil. Snapshot moment. If everybody here, just out of respect for those around you, if you go ahead and bow your head, close your eyes. The question tonight is, as we wrap down this message, as you look at this idea of a Snapchat versus a snapshot life, some of you maybe are seeing some different things and you're going, man, I realize I'm wasting a lot of different opportunities. Before you can truly begin a snapshot life, if you haven't already gotten right with Jesus, that's something that you're going to need to address. Maybe some of you, you've done it already. You've lived the Christian walk in life. You've said the prayer maybe 100 times. But you're away from God. You're in a place where you just need His love, you need His mercy, you need His forgiveness and kindness. All of us are in that place. We have sinful nature. We're called to walk in God's mercy and His grace, His forgiveness, and His love, His compassion for us. So if you're here tonight and maybe you've given your life to Him before, maybe you haven't, maybe this is all new to you, maybe this is the first time you've really heard of God's great love for you. Maybe as we're singing, you felt something different, and you walked into this room and you just felt loved, and you're feeling different streams of emotions. If that's you, you're just saying, no matter if you've done it before, you've never done it all, and you want to give your life to Jesus, if that's you, I'm going to ask that you just slip your hand up. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I appreciate your honesty and your boldness, and I'm going to ask you to do something else. I'm going to ask you to head to the back right now. If you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, there's a few people back there that just want to pray with you, help you process some of this. If that's you, just slip back there right now. And the rest of you, I just want to ask you, at the end of your life, what will your snapshots say about you? What will these moments that you've spent here on this earth say about the kind of person you are? What was most important to you in this life? Serving Jesus or serving self? Because your snapshots will reveal that. The scriptures tell us that everything that we do apart from God, when it's tried by the fire, really His goodness and who God is. If it's not of Him, if it's not lasting, if it was just a Snapchat moment, it's going to be burnt up. There's no hiding things from God. He already knows. He's already calling you. So if that's you and you're here tonight, you guys can look up here. With that in mind, I just want to ask you, what perspectives in your life tonight need to change? So you can begin to take some snapshot moments. So you can begin to be like some of the great people in history who have given everything just to serve Jesus. The world changer that God has called you to be. Will you step into those shoes? It begins tonight with another snapshot moment. Maybe you're a person who went from the selfie Snapchat moments to the selfie stick. You're partway there. You're seeing a broader perspective, but it's not the whole picture of what God has for you. You're still missing the snapshot. The focus is still not from Jesus' perspective, it's from your own. So my question is, what's limiting you from having that snapshot life? What is holding you back? You know, Philip, he ran to the Ethiopian. He ran. But in order to run to Him, he had to run from something. He had to run after God with such great obedience down that road, not even knowing where he was going with it, but just knowing that the pursuit was greater than staying in disobedience. He ran.
My question is tonight, in order for you to run to Jesus, to have these snapshot moments, what things in your life do you need to run from? What things in life is God asking you to lay down at this altar tonight so you can begin to live a snapshot life? What do you need to leave behind for the great mural of the kingdom of heaven to not be left with small gaps because we've dropped the ball? When you look back at the great mural of your life, no matter how many gaps you've left in your past or not, the picture is not completed. God can take that and he can begin to turn it into just something beautiful. But you've got to be willing to run from a few things tonight in order to run to Jesus and to make your snapshots count. So I'm going to invite you just to come to the altars and ask you to spend some time with Jesus. Ask him, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from truly pursuing him deeply? We're going to go ahead. We're going to dim the lights down. We're going to turn on some light worship music in the background. And I just invite you right now just to come. Find a place. Do not waste this moment. Turn this into a snapshot moment in time of your life.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Rage Student Ministries podcast. We are a local youth ministry located in East Lansing, Michigan. We meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you're ever around, feel free to check us out. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.